say it with a little conviction. I am finished with undisciplined living. Now look at your neighbor and say, undisciplined living.
Welcome to Christian Life Center of Hammond, Indiana. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Sam Hamstra. For more information about this podcast and other resources, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. Let's listen in on this week's sermon, I'm Finished with Undisciplined Living.
Good morning, CLC Hammond. How y'all doing today? It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. I'm excited you guys are here. My name is Sam. My wife Taylor and I are your pastors here. And it's my privilege to welcome you. Once again, if you're a first-time guest, we've it up for our first-time guest today. Happy you're here. We're excited for you. If you guys can't tell, we actually put 40 extra seats in the auditorium. We're almost like wall-to-wall seats right now, people to people. We believe we're going to make room for what God is going to do in the city of Hammond, Indiana, in the Northwest region this year. I believe that God's about to show off the gospel. It's going to be like people are just going to be drawn. We're excited. Do you guys believe that with me? And we're excited about what God's going to do. So welcome today. Today we're kicking off a four-part teaching series I'm really excited about called It Is Finished. Here's what this is all about. We read in John 19 and 30 that when Jesus, one of his last words was on the cross was, it is finished. And if it's translated as tetelesti, meaning paid in full. So Jesus, the moment that he died for us, your sins were paid in full. Are you guys thankful that Jesus paid for your sins? But the reality is, even though Jesus paid for it, sometimes you don't walk in it. This side of the room got this. They didn't get that over there. And so what we're going to be talking about a little bit more over the next 4 weeks is four things that we think that we need to make declarations on that we're done with in life, that we're finished with in life, to walk into what God has called us to do. Amen? So we're so excited about this series over the next 4 weeks. I'm really excited about next week, Sunday. Pastor Chris McQuay is going to be with us in the house. And she's got a great word. And then I'm going to be finishing off the series for the month of January. I'm going to be telling you in the message today about some great things we have going on throughout the year as well. But I'm excited to dive into the Word of God today. Anybody with me? If you guys could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 27. I was speaking at a young adult youth conference, and they were making fun of me because I still carry a big Bible around. I told them, hey, my Bible doesn't run out of batteries like yours might, right? My life's in order because this thing's falling apart, but my life isn't because I'm in this Word. So I'm not bashing you. I believe in technology. But there's something about turning pages of a Bible once in a while. So if you guys could turn to 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. If you're following along on your phone, youversion.com, bible.com, that's great. Also, we'll get it up on the screen. I'm reading this morning from the New Living Translation of the Bible. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? If you're an Olympic fan, his name is Usain Bolt. He always wins, right? So Paul says, run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. From this text this morning, we're going to share our first declaration as we head into 2018. If you guys could repeat this with me, the declaration that we're going to share this morning is this. I am finished. Say it with a little conviction. I am finished with undisciplined living. Now look at your neighbor and say, undisciplined living. Let me pray and I'm going to get into the Word this morning. Father, help us to live disciplined lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys still laugh. I pray short prayers. God still hears them the same. I'm telling you. You know, I remember a few years back now, I went down to college, and it wasn't that long ago, but a few years back now, I went to college down in Nashville, Tennessee. And I remember being 18 years old and having to make a decision that's a little ridiculous, I think, in life, that you have to decide what you're going to major in college when you're 18 years old. It's a hard decision to make. It's something that's going to affect the rest of your life. Does anybody remember having to deal with that decision? And so for me, this is how I made my decision. I didn't have a lot of guidance in life. I didn't like math. Anybody like math? Sorry, I wasn't good at it. I wish I was. I didn't like math, and I didn't like science. And so I chose something that didn't have anything to do with either one of those, and I picked communications. And so I was in class with all the rest of the athletes in school, and I like talking, right? And so I remember being in class, and one thing they teach you in communication classes is the importance of starting off with something they call a hook. You know, in addition to like eye contact and voice inflection and all these things, one thing they teach you in communication is a hook that you need to get people in before you give them some hard news. But I'm going to break every single communication rule this morning, if that's okay with you guys, and start off with some hard news. Is that okay? This isn't the hard news yet, but one thing that I've learned in life, really been cemented in our spirit over really the last, really in adult years, is really that God is good. You might not see it sometimes, you might not understand it, but the more I follow God, the more I can understand that he truly does. He's the kind of God who works all things together for the good of those who love him. Through the mountaintop, through the valley, and everything in between, how many of you would say today that you can testify that God has been good? But it's not really a period to me. It's kind of a comma and. It's like God is good and. See, I did learn something in communication class grammar, okay? I'm just saying. But God is good and life is hard. Now, the thing is that just because God is good doesn't mean your life won't be hard. And here's the thing that I've learned through life. Life gets really hard. I think a lot of us know this. We've all been dealing with painful situations, probably even to start off the year. And a lot of things are outside of our realm of influence, our realm of being able to take care of that thing. There's things that happen to you in life that you can't manage. There's things that just come against you. Can you guys think of some of those things? Maybe you get laid off because your company downsized, or you have a fight in a family that had nothing to do with you, but there's things in life that happen that are out of your control and that cause pain. But today I don't want to talk about the things that are out of your control. I want to talk about the pain that's caused in your life that's in your control and is caused because of you. This is going to get really fun really quick. It's like, welcome to CLC Hammond. We kick off the year with good news. But how many of you can think of situations in your life even right now that you're in a situation in your life that you caused because of how you acted? You know, how many of you can think of issues that are your fault? You know, a lot of us, we want to blame the devil for everything, but it wasn't the devil who made you get a car note for a car you can't afford. We want to blame the devil that men that were flirting with this woman, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You just need to discipline yourself and turn your eyes away. You know, the devil didn't make you procrastinate. The devil didn't make you buy the house you couldn't afford. Preaching way better than you're responding right now. I've heard people talk about, man, the devil was in my alarm clock this morning. My alarm didn't go off. That's why I'm late. Like, that wasn't the devil. That's you didn't plug in your charger the right way last night and your phone died. Get some discipline and set two alarms. You know, the reality is that our problem isn't the devil. A lot of times the problem is our flesh. We blame the devil. We give the devil too much credit for stuff that we have control over. Sometimes in life, I feel like the Apostle Paul. I'm preaching to myself today, just so you know. I feel like Paul in Romans 7:15, where he says, I don't really understand myself, for I do what I don't want to do. I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. You know, I want to do what's right. I want to go to the gym, but I walk to the fridge. Am I the only one? I wasn't going to eat the whole pizza, but the whole thing's gone. What happened? A lot of times in life, too, what I've been finding is that you didn't really mean to do it, but decision led to a decision, and the thing led to another thing. That donut led to another donut, and now you're 43 pounds overweight. And I believe that this is the root of why many of us aren't quite as far along in the year 2017 or 18 as we expected to be, because we are undisciplined to finish that what God called us to do in 2017. And what I hear God saying to us is that your breakthrough is going to come in your discipline. That there's things that are going to come through living your life in a manner where you're disciplined in every area of your life. And what God has really been showing me more and more and more in life, that in order to close the gap, can you guys think of some things that you want to do that you haven't done? What God's been showing me in life is that to close the gap between your intentions and your direction, your intentions, what you want to do, and your direction, what you actually do, it takes a word called discipline. It takes you actually put action to what your mouth and mind and your heart is telling you to do. And discipline can be defined as this. There's a lot of different definitions of discipline. I really like this definition if you're taking notes. Discipline can be defined as choosing between what you want now and what you want the most. It can be defined as what you want now and choosing what you need the most. Now, this is the context of what the Apostle Paul is confronting the church in Corinthians with in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that we read this morning. Paul is talking to a people who he finds undisciplined. Now, let me explain the context of this so we're all on the same page. Paul here is speaking to the church of Corinth. He wrote this letter to church folks, so this was meant to be towards believers. Now, he's addressing three things. Number one, problems in the church. Tell me if you think this is relevant. Number one, problems in the church. Number two, the solutions in the church. Number three, how do we live as believers in a corrupt society? Would you say this is relevant to us today? And here's the thing. Paul here, he's saying in 1 Corinthians 9, that he's talking to the church in Corinth, and it's for these believers, and he had sensed that these believers in Corinth had become a little bit spiritually flabby. He's saying they wanted the rewards, but they didn't want to work hard. They wanted the blessing without the sacrifice. They were more concerned about comfort rather than calling. They had forgotten why it is what they did. And maybe for us today, could it be that we too have become a bit spiritually flabby? You want to get in your word, but you hit the snooze. You want your ministry to grow, but you can't get off Facebook. You want to be debt-free, but you don't make a budget. I'm preaching myself, I'm telling you, okay? You want your pants to fit. I've already declared that my skinny jeans will fit the same way in 2019. I'm just letting you know. You know, you want your pants to stay fit in the same way, right? But you don't want to do sit-ups. Paul here is talking to a people who've become undisciplined. And Paul just doesn't tell them the problem. He has an illustration of what it should look like for them. And here's what he shows them. He said, you want to be more disciplined in life. What you need to do is look at an athlete. He said, these are the prize people. Look at how they live their life. And when Paul explained this to the people of Corinth, they understood what he was talking about. He was drawing a reference to a games they had in the time in Corinth that was much like the Olympics of our time. How many of you are excited for the Winter Olympics coming up? I love the Olympics. But he was drawing a parallel to a games they had in Corinth called the Isthmian Games. I barely can say it. It's I-S-T-H, okay? M-I-A-N, Isthmian Games. Here's what he was showing is that in order to even enter these games and run, you had to sign a 10-month code where you would have a strict diet, exercise, train, and do all this stuff to even enter the games. And he said, hey, I want you to look at them so you know how to live a disciplined life. Because all so often, instead of looking like them, I'm going to show you what we look like. Turn your attention to the screen really quick. We look like this. Right? And Paul's saying, you're not supposed to look like this. What you're supposed to look like is more like this. He said that is how believers are supposed to look. Not just physically, but spiritually. We're supposed to run our race well. And you know what's interesting to me is the root word of discipline is the word disciple. That disciples of Christ are called to be disciplined people. Did you know that self-discipline is a fruit of the Spirit? That as the Holy Spirit's activity in you begins to grow, that a fruit of the Spirit is a disciplined life. And Paul here is saying, this is what we're supposed to look like. And he paints this picture, and he uses that of a prize-winning athlete. And here's what we see in 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. Paul says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So he says, so run to win. Does it got anybody here who likes to win in life? I know I do. So run to win. So Paul is saying this is how we're supposed to run. And he shows us two things that we really need to hone in on as believers today. If you're not a believer, you don't have to receive this, but this is what we signed up for when we gave our life to Christ. He said, run your race well. And there's two things you need to run your life in a way of discipline in order to do what God's calling you to do. Number one, you need to know your purpose. In order to run with discipline in this life, you need to know your purpose. In order to run well, you need to know why you're running. You need to know your why. A why will get you through places you likely wouldn't have gotten through without it. Verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 9 says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But, and this is what sets us believers apart from others, this is our purpose, that we do it to win an eternal prize. You know, when our kids are, if you have kids and they play sports, you don't have to win anymore to win a trophy. That's a message for a whole nother day. You can finish in fourth place, you get a plastic trophy, right? Even if you win the Olympic Games, Usain Bolt, I don't know how many gold medals that man has, but here's the reality. No matter how good you are, without Jesus, it doesn't matter because you can't bring a gold medal to heaven. You can work and work and work and be the richest man in the world. If Bill Gates, I don't know whether, I'm not going to judge him, but if he doesn't know Jesus, you know what's going to happen? That money will die with him along with his grave. He'll have a legacy on earth, but not one in the heavens. And Paul is saying, don't you forget why we as believers run our race. He's saying, we don't run our race for something that fades away. We run our race for eternal glory. That's our destination. And he's saying, you know what happens is when you know this, you walk with purpose in every step because you understand what you're called to do. I want to remind you today that a greater purpose will get you through your greatest pain. You know that a lot of times you might not feel like waking up in the morning, you might not feel like pressing through, but a greater purpose, when you know what God has called you to, I'll strap you up by the bootstraps and keep you pressing through. A greater purpose will get you through a greater pain. And here's what you need to understand is Paul is saying, hey, our eternal prize that we run for as believers, this is one thing we have in common, whether you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, young, old, and in between. We have one thing in common that we all run for the same purpose, and that's the eternal glory that we get to spend with our Savior. And he's saying this, don't you forget why you run. That you can make goals for the new year. You can want to go press and do all these things. But if it doesn't line up with the purpose of eternity, you better put it away. Because it's meaningless. Paul's saying, don't you forget your purpose. Don't you forget your why. You know, one thing that drives my family and I is that we try to live with an understanding of what God has called us to do. That on the one day that God calls us home, and it's the same thing with you, you're going to stand before Christ at the gates of heaven. And he's going to look at you and ask you the question. He's not going to ask your mom or your auntie or your uncle. He's going to ask you what not even your pastor is going to have to answer for you. Can I tell you this? He's going to ask you, what did you do with what I blessed you with? What did you do with the dreams and vision and the calling that I put on your life? And we live our life in such a way that I want God to declare over me and my family, job well done, my good and faithful servant. You completed everything that I gave you, but you need to remember your purpose. You know, one of my favorite analogies, I've told it here before, is actually about a family that walks on the high wire. Okay, that they're called the Great Wallendas. Has anybody heard of the Great Wallendas before? They do circus stuff. One of the kids actually walked across the high wire across Chicago. They're crazy. And so I found this interview with one of the grandkids named Tino, T-I-N-O. And here's what they asked him. How do you do what it is you do for a living? And he said, well, at the age of 2, my grandfather started teaching me how to walk the high wire, a 5/8-inch thing. It was a little wider then. It was only 2 feet off the ground. And slowly but surely, we started bringing it up. And he said, how do you do that for a living? You know, you're walking across all these things. He said, well, here's what my grandfather taught me at a young age, that you walk 1 foot in front of the other. How simple is that, right? That's how you progress, 1 foot in front of the other. Keep your arms close to your side. Keep nice and rigid. But he said the most important thing that his grandfather taught him was in order to get to the other side, to complete that what you're trying to do, you need to keep your eyes fixed on something at the end of this race that doesn't move. He said, you know what? Don't look at everybody around you. Don't look at the lion's mouth underneath you. Don't look at the bears down there. Don't listen to the haters down there. Don't listen to what they call you to over there. Don't listen to what they're saying about you over there. In order to finish that, what you've been called to do, you need to fix your eyes on the one thing that doesn't move. And in Hebrews 12:2, you know what that one thing is? He's called Jesus Christ. We should fix our eyes on the God who's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You know, I know this is basic, but at the beginning of the year, I wanted to remind you, we better make sure that we're pressing our goals through the goal of eternity. That no matter what we look like, let's remember our purpose on this earth. Paul says, in order to win the race, remember what you're running for. You better know your why. The second key Paul tells us as we progress in this text is this. He says, if you want to run your race well, you need to practice self-discipline through training. Training, how many of you like to train? I don't know many people, but sometimes you get used to it. I'm not a big training guy, but here's the thing. 1 Corinthians 9 and 27 says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Paul here is basically saying that he doesn't want his actions to affect his message. So how do you discipline your body? How do you get into shape physically and spiritually? Paul says it's by training, that we need to be people as believers who train diligently because our spiritual growth depends on it. Here's what I believe this year. Your spiritual growth is dependent upon your discipline. That your ability to choose between what you want now and what you want most, that will dictate how much you grow this year. That you can decree, can I keep it real today? You can decree and declare all you want that you're going to be healed of high blood pressure, diabetes, but if you keep on eating Twinkies and donuts, you're going to block the blessing of God on your life. That you can decree and declare and bind and loose whatever you want, but I believe here this year that a lot of people are going to receive healing through discipline. I believe, last week we had a great service. How many of you guys were at this service last week? I'm telling you, God showed up. It was powerful. And here's the thing. How many people stood up when we talked about provision? Now, if we need breakthrough in our life, here's the thing. Breakthrough will come by being financially disciplined, by actually creating a budget. I believe we're going to find breakthrough in discipline. So let me get real practical today, okay? How can we be more disciplined in our lives? Now, I could give you some real, real practical things. We're going to go through a big list like, starting small, like keeping your car clean. How many people have gotten into a car before and it smells and looks like a zoo? It's like, man, you know what I've been trying to do and I've been trying to stay thankful for? Because some people are like, I can't believe my pastor drives a Toyota. I'm like, well, get over it because my car's paid for. Right? How many people have gotten into financial problems because you buy a car that you can't afford to impress people that you don't like? And so here's the thing. What God has been dealing with me on is, be thankful for what I've already blessed you with. Take care of what I've already blessed you with. Thank the Lord for what he's already given you that's lasted longer than it should. I'm thankful for clothes and boots that don't have holes in them and my clothes that haven't ripped and tattered. I thank God that he's already blessed me. Sometimes you need to take care of what you have before you get something else. Why would God give you $2 if you can't take care of one? So what I've been trying to do to teach myself discipline is every Monday, we weren't doing this. We would get our car washed like every 3 months, and I was embarrassed. It drives me crazy when I get in the car. It's like, this thing is disgusting. Like, I got dust stains on my clothes, right? So every Monday morning, you guys have seen those $3 car washes? We go to the $3 car wash. How many of you guys got $3? Right? I drive through that thing. I vacuum the car myself. You know what? We do all these things. I got some wipes. I wipe it down myself to teach myself discipline. And I'm not going to lie. I'm not religious about it. I didn't do it at confession time last week, Monday, when it was negative 14. Ain't nobody got time for that. I did not wash my car that day. Some of us, though, starts by starting small. To grow in discipline, to make something a new routine this year. For some of us, I could preach on this for a long time about being on time. I can't preach on this all day, but let me just say something. In your workplace, why would you get a promotion if your boss can't trust you to show up on time? A lot of our promotions in life are based on the reality if you can take worry off your boss, not add worry to his life. If your boss is worrying about if you can show up or not, guess what's going to happen? Nothing. There's an old school thing that used to happen with believers. That when we had church services, that you would actually get to the house of the Lord early to prepare your heart for his presence. What would that look like? And I know stuff happens, but isn't the presence of God worth it to show up for on time? Isn't, things in life, we should value ourselves enough where we show up to things on time. Maybe that's what God is speaking to you. Maybe you need to pick one new discipline this year and master it. I've been talking to people this week who I know who are disciplined, because Taylor and I, we know that in order for us to go into what God is calling us to do, it's going to take discipline. So I've been asking people, what do you do? You're so disciplined. I asked Dorothy. Dorothy's one of the most disciplined people I know. How in the world are you so disciplined? Like, did God make you that way? She said, absolutely not. I grew in my discipline. I grew because I had to. You start with one thing at a time. You master one thing at a time. And we could talk about these things all day long, but in a church like ours, when we're all different things, I want to give you one principle for the year that I believe affects all of us in terms of growing and training in our discipline. And here's what we all have in common. I want to press on this a little bit today. Here's what we all have in common is no matter how old, young, or in between we are, what color, race, anything like that, we all have this in common that we all have 24 hours in the day. It's up to you with what you do with it. We all have the same amount of time in a day. And so here's what I want to challenge our church with this year is this simple principle to schedule first what you value most. As we're heading into a new year, I know this is super foundational, practical, but what does it look like to schedule first what you value most? One thing it is not letting everything that's urgent take you away from what's important. So many times the phone call rings and God has given you stuff to do and you bypass your calling based on other people's problems. Here's what Taylor and I, we actually had a great conversation. I encourage families to do this together, couples, whatever. We sat down and we said, what do we value most in life? And let's put it on the schedule first. Fill up our schedule with this stuff that matters so we can grow in what God has called us to do. And this is odd for us, but what we put on our schedule first is we put our day of rest. It's like, if we're going to live well, we need to learn to rest well. And so we scheduled a Sabbath day. It's like nobody, you know, I'm going to turn my phone off. I'm going to put it in a corner. We're not going to be available, you know. And some of us, we need to do that. The next thing we did for us, a non-negotiable, is we said daily devotions. We're going to put it on a schedule. You know, what is your life if you're not growing in God? We need to be people who grow in God. And I don't want to grow in God to be a better preacher. I want to grow in God because I love my Father. And then we said family. Family is important to us. So we scheduled a date night. Come on, glory to God for all the married couples here. I'm telling you, we should date our wives still, right? The longer we've been married, the more we should date our wives. And you know what? This marriage conference, can I issue a challenge to our church? We're praying for 50 couples to come to this marriage one day. There's 500 churches from around the nation that are doing these simulcasts together. It's going to be a great time. But how good will it be to invest in our marriages together? There's vow renewal, so many good things. It's going to be awesome, February 10th. So we said we're going to invest in our family because that's our first ministry. People who want to go into ministry, you already are in ministry. One thing we need to remember that there is no ministry without your first ministry. That if you don't take care of your family, you lose your testimony in the pulpit. And on that note, too, we scheduled vacations. I'm like, what kind of moron am I that I haven't used my vacation time for the last 5 years? Right? Thank you. Yeah, right? No. Leslie's like, I take mine. Schedule vacation time. You know what? Life is not just meant to be work. You need to have fun in life and recharge. And then we said, you know what? We value prayer in our family. I believe that God can do more in 5 seconds than he can do it through me in 5 years through prayer. So we said, we're going to get to prayer meetings no matter what. We're going to bring our four-year-old. He might be super annoying and be running around this whole auditorium. The thing is, we want him to be in the presence of God as much as possible because my goal for him is not to be a great baseball player or a great student. My goal for my child is that he loves God more than I do. Telling you, your kid can do a lot of things in life, but if he doesn't know Jesus, it's all meaningless at the end of time. He could be the most popular person in the school. He could have more money or he than anybody on the earth, but if they don't know Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And next we scheduled discipleship. And I know that sounds weird, but Jesus didn't call us to pack auditoriums. He called us to make disciples. You know, I'm starting to realize more and more and more the only people who love full auditoriums anyways are preachers because it makes us feel good about ourselves. But what God is saying is he called us to be disciples, disciplined disciples. So we schedule discipleship. I want to schedule time to be discipled and make disciples. And I'm not sure what your list looks like, but the principle is the same for you. Schedule first what matters most. And I believe in here, no matter how old or in between we are, though, that there's really four things that we should see in all of our schedules in 2018. I think these things are the foundation. I think these are in the diet of every disciplined Christian. The number one is a daily devotion. I know this is basic, but sometimes we forget about how life-giving a daily time. How many of you are thankful for daily time with God, that you don't need to go through a priest, that God speaks to you on your own, in your own living room, in your own car? Mark 1:35 says that early in the morning, this is why I believe devotion should be done in the early morning. My wife doesn't like this scripture. Love you, honey. Well, it was still dark. Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place. Now, if Jesus needed to spend time with his Father, how much more do we need to spend time with him? And as basic as this is, you can go to Bible.com. There's reading plans galore. It's awesome. I'm actually going to complete reading the Bible for the 10th year in a row by just doing chunk by chunk, day by day, daily Bible reading. I love being in the Word daily. But I think that daily devotions need to be in the lifeblood and the diet of every disciplined believer. Somebody say amen if you blame me. The next thing, this is going to sound super old school. I want to challenge you to make, and I know I'm preaching to the choir on this, so to speak, but to make weekly corporate worship together a top priority. Here's why I say that. Average church attendance right now across America is once every 4 weeks. If you do the math on that, basically you show up to the house of the Lord 12 times and you expect your life to change. Now here's the thing. I already said this, but my goal for my kids, and I know we can all get busy, I know we all have stuff to do, but what can be more important than gathering together with like-minded people to worship and our Heavenly Father in heaven and give praise to Him and be refreshed? There's power together when we come together, and here's what ends up happening when we put a weekly corporate gathering on the back burner, is that all of a sudden you start falling off, you go from maybe every week to every 2 weeks, then you're not here for a whole month, but then all of a sudden your prayer life starts to lack, and all of a sudden you get in trouble and you don't think anybody's there with you, then all of a sudden your kids see you not going to church, and now it's generational. And it all starts with just getting lax in our schedule, because Sunday mornings, I'm telling you, they can be comfortable at home with Netflix on TV. Amen? Can we keep it real today? But I'm telling you, Netflix can't renew your life. But coming together, there's something about the power of God when we gather together that can change your life. Another thing, I'm going to kick off with all the fun things in 2018. If you're a first-time guest here, welcome. We just like to hit the hard stuff up front. I want to challenge you guys to schedule consistent tithing for this year. And I'm going to say this in the best way possible. We could always use more money and stuff, but we've been blessed beyond measure here. The favor of God's on this house, like, it's awesome. And let me tell you this, my salary doesn't go up when you give, right? I'm still going to be driving my Toyota. But here's the thing. So many people stood up last week for provision in your life. But you can't expect the blessing of God without following His rules. And I want to encourage us, this is going to be some of the most spiritual things you can do this year, is to go home and make a budget. If you don't know how to make one, there's websites galore. You can go to I Was Broke, But Now I'm Not. That's a real website with real tools. I Was Broke, But Now I'm Not. It's awesome, free templates and everything. But here's the thing. I want to encourage you, schedule a budget and put a tithe at the top of it and watch God bless you. Put Him at the first. The Word tells us, put Him to the test. I feel a move on spirit. Last but not least, this is going to get better. Just wait. I believe this should be at the diet of every disciplined believer is consistent fasting. Just so we're clear on what I've asked you to do so far, get in the Word daily, show up to church weekly, be consistent in tithing, and fast consistently. I think we've gotten flabby as Christians. And here's what we're going to do to write this a little bit on this topic of fasting. I'm really excited about this in a weird way, not in all ways. But we're kicking off a 21-day corporate fast tomorrow. So we're fasting corporately as a body, all CLC campuses. Actually, there's churches all around the country that are going to be doing this together. We're fasting from January 8th to January 28th. And here's what we're asking the entire church to do. We're asking everybody here to do something called a Daniel fast. I just saw your face. That's awesome. She's like, no. And so we're asking everybody here to do something called a Daniel fast. We read about this in Daniel chapter 10, 2 and 3, where Daniel went before, he said, he was away for 21 days, and we said, watch what God can do. And he went without meats and sweets, basically, a loose translation, okay? So I'm going to actually, let me read this for you, Daniel 10, 2 and 3. We'll get it up on the screen for you. It says, when this vision came to me, Daniel said later, I've been in mourning for 3 full weeks. All that time I tasted neither wine nor meat, and of course, I went without desserts. I neither washed, nor shaved, nor combed my hair. So specifically, we're asking the church specifically, we're asking you to still shower. But for all of us to do at the bare minimum a Daniel fast, and we're going to translate it is no meats and no sweets. Now, it was funny. I was in my discipleship group, and Kendrell's here, and Miguel's here, and Tommy's here, and we're all different ages and stuff and different backgrounds. And Tommy was talking about how a fast is like social media. He's a millennial, right? Kendrell's old school. He's like, that's not a fast, son. Right? Fast is no food. And here's what I'm going to ask, though. Church-wide, just so we're all on the same page, everybody commit to doing bare minimum Daniel fast. And if God speaks to you to do more, bless you. Amen? For some of us, maybe this would be a great time and period to break our Facebook and Instagram and Snap addictions. Some of us, it's going to be a great time to press away. And why do we fast? This is really important. To humble ourselves. We fast to humble ourselves. This is what we read with David in Psalm 35 and 13. David said, I humbled myself with fasting. And so we're kicking that off, and I'm really excited about that. And so on that note, I have four challenges for you. We're going to wrap up. I believe that to be disciplined, the best time to start is right now. Are you guys with me on this? That how many of you can think of some things in life that you've been undisciplined on? And I believe today there's just power in coming together. So I'm going to ask that we start now together. So I have four challenges. The first one is that 21-day fast, January 8th through 28th. I'm going to ask for a call to action on that in just a minute, see who's down with that. And also, the next thing is a one-word challenge we're calling it. I want to ask you to accept the one-word challenge. How many of you know what a one-word challenge is? We talked about it in the first service, and then we forgot to do some things in the second last week. But a one-word challenge is seeking the Lord for you and your family, what he's calling you to do in this year. So here's what we're asking. Come up with one word directionally where God is calling you. You're going to run everything through that. Our word, oddly enough, is discipline for the year, actually from this text. That's why I'm really passionate about it. But we're asking you to come up with one word. And when you have that word over the next few weeks, write it. We have this big banner in the hallway that says, it is finished. Write your word so everybody can see, so you can see it. We're going to keep that. We'll keep it in front of you guys all year. The third thing we're asking you to do is accept a 21-day challenge to seek the Lord personally for yourself. Now, I know a lot of you are already doing that, but for this 21 days, I'm asking for a renewed commitment from our church. And with that, we have seven, I have this flyer somewhere up here. We have seven prayer focuses as a church. Each day, there's a prayer focus. We have these for you on the way out. Each one is actually starting the day praying for lost souls to be saved. We believe that this is going to be a year where we see lost souls saved. But every day has a prayer focus. We're going to ask you to join us with that. We'll also be doing Facebook Live devotionals at 6 a.m. That's like the glory cloud time, church, 6 a.m. Facebook Live devos on our CLC-wide website. We got the link up there for you. The pastoral staff will be doing that. So we're asking you to accept the Lord personally. And then also, last but not least, accept the call to the sacred assembly. What I mean by that is we're having three special prayer meetings starting this week. We're super excited. Three Thursday nights in a row, January 11th, January 18th, and January 25th. And we want to encourage you guys to get here. We believe that there's power in prayer. Yes, you can pray alone, but how much more powerful is it when we pray together? So we have special meetings on January 11th, 18th, and 25th, all different folks. We'll have a time of worship. January, just so you know, this Thursday, we have child care for age 5 and under, but it's a family prayer night, so we're going to come together and pray as families and pray for families. The next two nights, though, we have full kids ministry and everything. They'll be talking about prayer, too, so no excuses not to be here the next three Thursdays. And also along with this, we have a special prophetic night this Friday as well, Thursday, Friday. So this Friday at 7 p.m., we have a special guest, too. We're excited, though, about what God is going to do here. So our declaration today is this: we're done with undisciplined living. How many of you would say, can you repeat that with me? I am done with undisciplined living. So here's what I'm going to ask. If you are willing to do this 21-day fast with us and answer that call, can you stand right now? Awesome. All over the room. Cool. Let me pray for you guys really quick, and then we're going to have a time of prayer together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person standing. Father, I pray, Lord, that this be a period of time where you speak to us like never before. Father, we come boldly before the throne today, Lord, and ask for fresh revelation, O God. Father, I pray that this be a period of breakthrough for so many here professionally. Father, for things that people have been calling out on, calling your name on, O God. Father, I pray, Lord, just for your hand of favor, Lord, to shine through. Father, I pray for boldness. I pray for courage. I pray for strength. Father, I pray, Lord, that as we press away from food, God, that you speak to us, oh God. Father, I thank you that this is going to be a period of cleansing. I see souls being cleansed over the next 21 days, not only from what we've put in our bodies, but I see God cleansing us of some bad habits, some things that we've been putting on the inside of us. Father, I pray and ask you today, Lord, for strength for people. Lord, I pray, Lord, for fresh revelation for this church, for fresh vision, oh God. Father, I pray that as we're coming together corporately to fast, God, Lord, that you just open heavens on this place, Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, just for a spirit, Lord, of obedience to fall over us. Lord, help us to be disciplined in that which you've called us to do. Here's what I'm going to ask you right now. If you could join the hand of the neighbor, if everybody could stand up right now, if you could join the hand of your neighbor on the left or right of you, go across the aisles as well. If we could all join hands as one family today, there's power when we come together, church. Amen. Here's what I'm going to ask. Look at your neighbor, just squeeze their hand and say, don't cheat. Look at your other one, say, you either.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. For service times and other resources, be sure to like us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram. Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. For service times and other resources, be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram.